And now, in conversation with the boyhood heroes who became his broadcasting colleagues, this is My Radio 1 with Sean
Tilley. From its launch in 1967, right through the 70s to the mid-80s, BBC Radio 1 was probably the world's biggest music station. In this series, I'm introducing you to many of the people behind the network's success during those golden years, as they each tell the story of their Radio 1. Sean
Tilley. My Radio 1.
And to welcome this guest, we need a big production.
Old England isn't finished yet. It's finished now.
Adrian Jones.
Brother, you can say that.
Now, quiet, lads. I've got to make my dramatic entrance. Oh, dear, boss. I'm a bit worried.
What about?
Do you think the audience will still remember me?
Remember you?
There's only one way to find out, lad. Just step out onto that stage and see for yourself.
Yes, right. Hello, Sean. The voice is the same, but the rest of me is just dropping a bit.
No, that's he still looks like him. So, having been a fixture on local BBC and commercial radio around the Midlands during the 70s, you managed to squeeze through the doors of Radio 1.
I was the first one to come from BBC local radio, because they'd always come from Luxembourg, you know, your old stable, and Peter Powell and Paul Burnett. They'd all done Luxembourg, Noel Emmons.
Yeah,
as well.
Kid.
Yes, of course. And I was the first one to come from local radio. And I thought we'd give him a go. And it gave me 6 weeks trial, and then they couldn't find anybody else, so I got another 4 weeks. But that's moving on to 1978, the bit you remember. So I started off in the trails department.
Hold the front page!
The new Radio Times is hot off the presses with the big story of Radio 1. Look for the DJs on the cover. Inside, there's pictures galore, the roadshow.
And they said, come work with our promotions producer, Dave Price. So I went down there just before Christmas, 1976, and Dave, quite a character, as you know, dead now, rest his soul, but he wasn't very good with public transport, and the tubes were all crowded, and it came in with the standard, and his language was colourful, and he said, oh, here's the schedule for New Year's Eve. He said, do that, and off I went. So we got on quite well. I thought, I can get on with this bloke.
The New Radio Times.
Bobby, please back entertainment.
Big deal.
No weapon swap shop. Lucky numbers. The generation game. The film of Till Death Us Do Part. Certainly are. A sensational satellite broadcast by Jethro Tull, live from Madison Square Gardens, New York. Color on B2, stereo on Radio 1. There's even a feature on this great band in the new Radio Times, the weekly mag that's all about the week's best entertainment on TV and radio.
It's out today. The new Radio Times.
It was a lot of energy in there, but everybody was. We're all young and it's an energetic station.
Yeah. But listening to that second one, obviously you were incorporating the style now that you became most notable for. So there you were.
All the drop-ins,
crafting your style, honing what was to be what you became famous for 16 years on Radio 1. So it wasn't very long after this that the bosses eventually gave you a crack. Whose idea was it, though, to include the clips and the sketches in what would become the Adrian Jones Show?
That was me. I amassed, when I was my 3 years at Birmingham, I amassed sort of silly little bits of it. I got the cleaner saying, are you right? You know, and people would just come up with bits. And I had a whole rack of drop-ins, and I was sort of thinking that way.
Okay, most places have a dry day, although cloudy at times. Some sunny intervals are also likely. Occasional rain will reach Northern Ireland and extreme Western Britain later. That's Lou Rawls there, and Lady Love. Meantime, the audience scream,
what about a knock-knock joke?
Okay, then.
Knock-knock. Amnesia.
Don't blame me, I didn't say a dicky bird. If you're just tuning in, well, welcome aboard. This is Radio 1 for a Saturday morning. My name is Adrian Just, and these are ELO. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Would you tell everybody that Radio 1 plays the most music?
Okay. This is
Radio 1.
We play the most music.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell me about that first ever show, Saturday the 22nd of April, 1978. Do you remember much about
it? I remember I had to redo the front. I did the opening. But apart from that, it was...
First record was Wings with a Little Luck.
Yes, and I played that. Dave Price was in the studio for my last one in 1994. And we play that as well. I said, Dave, this one's for you.
I'm going to play that for Dave Price, who was my first ever producer at Radio 1. And he's watching me today. Not much older, but a little wiser. And that was the first record we played on our very first show in 1978. Should have taken you back to the Graham Library by now. Should have really done.
Do you remember how the Radio Times billed you for the first couple of weeks?
The Adrian Just Who?
Yes,
that was me. Yes. Myself and Dave wanted that. We got six loads of pictures. So it was a sort of story. But being the Radio Times, they just put two pictures in. That was it. Then the pictures disappeared. Yeah, that's right. And Adrian Just Who?
That'll be the question on everybody's lips at 12.
Yes, and then, we did okay. So as I say, they were booked for 6 weeks. And there was the old BBC. I remember Teddy Warwick, dear old Teddy Warwick, another one who's got a legendary producer. He's been Kenny Everett, everybody. And he phoned up at the end of the show, talking to Dave. He said, what's he like to work with? Dave said, he's fine. You know, they wanted to know that. Yeah. You're just part of the team. And Time Out, bless them, Time Out magazine, who had never got a good word for Radio 1, really. I mean, they've got specialist programmes I like. But I got a love review. So it's amazing how hard young jocks try when they get their first big break, but he sure sweats blood to get this slot going. That's I remember. So Time Out, I've always had a soft spot for Time Out. Yeah.
Adrian Just.
A little look down and see what's happening later on today on Radio 1. 1:30 after the great Gambo, it's Rock On. And featuring today the Commodores, Randy Edelman and the Boys. It sounds good stuff. It's introduced by Bob Kilby and it's on 247 and stereo. Superflap, of course, at 2:30 with 3 hours of his kind of music. And at 5:31, it's Alexis Corner with his last blues and soul show of the present series. And lastly, at 6:30, in concert with Deaf School and Andy Desmond, introduced by Pete Drummond. Another great day's listening for you.
Radio 1 Show.
Today, live from the Summerlees Beach at Bude with Paul Burnett.
That first summer, you took on another role that you would become, well, every bit as famous for, and that was being the voice of the Radio 1 Roadshow. Now, that was the start of the legendary Today Live, but it sounded a lot different early days.
It was back to that, listening to back to that energy we've had. It was all that energy then, about Today Live on the thing, and everything was up there. But as I got older, I did them through the 80s, and it was very much the same as that, really. And Dave came on to produce the roadshow openers. We used to do them about 3 hours. We used to do the whole lot, intros, outros, trails, the whole.
We got
it down to a fine. Yes, and while I still got some voice left, and Dave, by then, we both said I was more the old actor, and he said, "Let the temps establish, the Radio 1 Roadshow, boom, and let the logistics give it a beat, and then come in there today." And we did, and it got sillier today. Live
from the green Seton Carew Hartlepool with Phillips Coffee.
Well, if you've been out of the country for 6 months or something, you won't know, but everybody else does. Radio 1 is moving in just under a fortnight's time to 275 and 285 metres, and it looks like being a great partnership for years to come. Mind you, some partnerships aren't so lucky. Look at these two.
Louis, I just heard. How terrible. 27 years you and Sam were partners.
How this? Brothers!
And after all that time, you split. What happened?
No choice. There was no way out. It was kismet. Tell me something. Would you stay partners with a man who stole from petty cash, took postage stamps home for personal mail, gambled corporation funds at the racetrack, and to top it off, took cash from the company safe? Would you want a partnership with such a man?
Never.
Well, neither did he.
But in the November of 1978, you moved into the 1 p.m. Saturday lunchtime residency.
Well, no, Sean, you're jumping a bit. I got sacked. Well, I didn't get sacked, but obviously...
you had a couple of months between...
There were only 6 weeks. I was thrown out. I got a lot of jobs offered. Dear old Ken Evans at Luxembourg. Do you want to come work for a dear, lovely man? Another one, the Grim Reaper's going to be some radio station out there. And Derek Chinnery, our boss, bless him, they had so many letters. It had letters in the Radio Times. Me and the Radio Times got on rather well. And, you know, if you got half of the column in the letters page in the Radio Times, you knew you'd done all right. And Derek Chinnery did something they would never do now. He said, all right, I made a mistake. We're going to put him back on again. Yeah. We're going to give him Jack Jackson's old slot. Now, you wouldn't get that these days. Yeah. So, you know, that was your old BBC, the gentleman's BBC.
Welcome to 1980. Sound effect that really was a cork.
Another yearly event for you was the legendary Radio 1 New Year's Eve parties that you hosted on the air. The first one,
oh my god, there was another one. I was a busy little bee, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were.
No wonder I'm knackered now.
So 1979 into 1980 was the first one. Now, this obviously you would do live because you'd have to bring in Big Ben and what have you.
Oh, yeah,
but you could be a little bit saucier on these.
Yes, can we just? It got worse as well.
Radio 1, Adrian Just.
Oh, God, I suppose we're going to have you rabbiting away all the evening again.
Okay, gang, can your boogie shoes stand the strain?
Yeah!
Because it's the non-stop disco party!
Oh, every night is New Year's Eve!
Yes, we've got the paper hats! We got the booze! We got the dancers!
We got a rotten band.
We got some great records, though. Here's the first.
But the thing was, everybody was K-Lite. I mean, the management used to get no names, no pack drill, because they're still around there. And about 1 o'clock, they were worse than we were.
Yeah, what I loved about what you were doing as well is that you were sending up in the nicest possible way other things that were going on in the network. It took a little a bit of courage, I might add, because you'd have a celebrated series like 25 Years of Rock, and then you'd come around with 26 Years of Rock.
This is the BBC again. God, that's why I love the BBC.
With Bob Danvers Walker.
Well, we got him in. I mean, the story behind that, Sean, is that the BBC, obviously, you know, everything's done in quarters, so 13 weeks. So they did this 25 Years of Rock. And then suddenly they thought, well, we've got 26 weeks. What are we going to put on for the 20? This is true. What are we going to put on? So I said to Dave Price, I said, look, let's do a thing. We got Stuart Grundy in to do it. And he said, we'll get Bob Danvers walking in because he'd weren't done Noel Edmonds. He was doing the Sunday morning. Right, I think, was it John Snagg and Bob Danvers? Got him in. I wrote some scripts, you know, with all the we thought it was movie turn news, and I wrote it all there. This truck has to all the alliteration and all that. Hey, look how grand out it could be. He came in, he said, I didn't work for movie turn news, but he did. Pathy said, he did a bang up job on it, marvelous job.
They've been talking about a channel tunnel since Grandma was a girl, but now it really does look all systems go. Yes, here's Minister of Transport Norman Fowler discussing the latest project with would-be contractors.
Well, you see, Gov, this is the benefit of a small company. I mean, I can start digging at Dover and my brother will start digging at Calais.
Yes, really, what happens if we don't meet in the middle?
Well, in that case, you get two tunnels for the price of one.
And you started working with a new producer, but he was one of the old school at Radio 1. And the BBC as a whole, he had many years there before that. Ron Bell Show.
Yep, Ron was, well, how do you say, quite a character. And Not a lot of people could, but I got on with him fine. He was on the Goon Show. He used to do spot effects on the Goon Show. So we got a, and we were talking about all these old
That must have been brilliant for you, being a Goon fan.
I mean, I was just early 30s, and he used to say to me, he said, how old are you? I said, well, I grew up with all this stuff. So it was good. I mean, he used to do the spot effects behind the screen. I think it was at the Paris or the Playhouse Theatre.
What did a producer do for you? Because I think it's fair to say, it's obvious, in fact, when you listen back to those old programmes of yours, you were very, very self-produced, weren't you? So well, what was their input?
The records, we just do the music. They give me, because we took quite a bit of time on the music as well. You know, I like to play the stuff with Johnny Walker, said, you know, you play some good stuff.
Well, I mean, it was you that brought Past the Duchy by Musical Youth.
Oh, I did, yeah, I did.
Well,
that was a little bit before. That's back to, I think...
82.
Yeah. I was comparing the Miss St Ives competition. That's the St Ives in Cambridgeshire. And I think they started off with 32 entrants and then narrowed it down to 60. So by the time you say, what are your plans for world peace and everything for the eighth time? But I got away with it. But I was driving back from that and I listened to Peel. He said, I know a lot of the boys like to tune in to pick up a few hints on presentation. And he put this thing on, and it's about 7 minutes long. And I thought, what's that? That nice and catchy. And I saw him the next day in Egerton. I said, John, what was that thing you put on? Oh, Musical Youth. Oh, they've been around for a long time. I said, oh, have you got a copy? I said, we could cut it down to 4 minutes and play. You want to play it? I said, yes, come on. That's a problem. And I got the, and then the daytime boys picked up. We played it a couple of weeks. I can't remember if that was, that would have been Ron Belcher, wouldn't it? I think, yes, he was producing it. And he got a good eye for a hit, yeah. So we played it a couple of weeks, and then the what we call the strip shows, the weekday yeah. shows, picked up on it, yeah. So that's my about one claim to fame, really.
Well, it became an enormous hit, of course.
Yeah.
And around about that time, you were making odd appearances on Top of the Pops. The first one was Christmas 1981.
Was it?
When you had to come off the back of Godley and Cream, Under Your Thumb, into Kirsty MacColl.
I remember
There's
it.
A guy who works down the chip shop.
I
now,
remember it.
As you've never done Top of the Pops before, what was the stipulation, you know, from
7 seconds?
Was that it?
Yeah. I mean, I apologise to dear old Kirsty MacColl because I think we took it, certainly took it twice.
Godley and Cream and Under My Thumb. Hello, it's nice to be here on the special Christmas edition. Here I am surrounded by all the glamour and glitter. I really must buy a licence. Down here there's a little lady who's going to sing one of my favourite numbers of 1981, Kirsty MacColl. There's a guy right down the chip shop, Swayze Elvis.
All this led to you becoming a much in demand Radio 1 DJ on the live circuit, you know, discos up and down the UK, booked you for personal appearances, and because of how your programme sounded, you really had to turn up with a whole bunch of tricks and gimmicks, didn't you?
I did too, yes. We nicked a few ideas. We had two cartridge machines, all the jingles and bits and bobs. I go, no, the BBC Rodeo, well, I used to do it myself with foot pedals and everything, but it's so difficult. Handling all the drunks. If you're doing a young farmer's, you've got to have all your wits about you. And I got an engineer in, and we got one of the early harmonisers, you know. So we used to put people up on stage. And they make your talk sound like Donald Duck. And we just switch it in and out. And I got the mic. What's the matter with this? And, nothing. I sound normal. And just silly stuff. We used to do bits and pieces. Tony Blackburn used to say, they still do bits and pieces. I said, Tony, I said, you can get 600 drunken rugby players and they'll just stop in mid-swing to do bits and pieces. It's very good. So, yes, we had a bit of that, a bit of the technical side, but we had all the usual silly competitions as well.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the sexy tones of Chris Aldred.
Thanks, Kenny. It's time for VHF listeners to join Radio 1 for Saturday afternoon's music, starting with Adrian Just. On Radio 2, 433 and 330 metres after the 1 o'clock news, it's time for Know Your Place.
The programme also went out in stereo, as they used to call it.
Oh, yeah.
On what was then primarily Radio 2's VHF channel. And this was a special and memorable time for anybody that enjoyed comedy on the radio because you had Kenny Everett first and then you straight after the Pips.
I followed it because I was on tape for that, wasn't I? No, I couldn't say anything because of the Pips, because Radio 2, because we've got Radio 1 as well. So it was difficult. Yeah. Yes, I followed the infamous Margaret Thatcher gag. He timed to perfection. He had it all written down and back timed it. But had I been live, yeah, I would have gone on the next studio. Kenny or Everett? Oi, now.
Traffic news from Radio 1.
And this is
This is a warning to motorists in the northeast of Scotland. The police in Aberdeen have just told us there is thick fog on the road between Aberdeen and Stonehaven. That's the A92. Visibility is down to less than 50 yards.
During the week, particularly when outside broadcasts were happening and road shows and what have you, you were often in the studio as well, weren't you? So if the line went down, we'd hear your voice doing the travel news and all sorts of things.
Well, that's right. I had rather, I mean, we used to panel bash, we used to drive the programmes, but like you say, when they used to do those Radio 1 weeks out, and I had, because I was quite a rookie, go back to 1979, and they were doing a week out in Scotland, started in Glasgow. Tony Blackburn was doing his afternoon show. I was just babysitting the desk in case it went down. And from Glasgow to the OB, which is out in the Orkneys or somewhere, we had no talk back. We couldn't talk to Tony. We could talk to Glasgow, we couldn't talk to him. And suddenly we sort of got this, the windows in the control room, BH, in the studios, suddenly rocked a bit, and it was the bomb at the House of Commons. Oh. Airy Neave had been blown up at the House of Commons. And I thought, so suddenly I'm there, I thought, we'll sit this out, see what happens. I'm suddenly aware of three very important people looking through the glass at me. The technical operations manager, I forget, somebody, head of this, head of that. He said, we want to flash this, but it's your decision. And I said, I thought about it, I said, no, because we can't talk to Tony. So you can imagine some of the records that could have been played there. So I said, you have to wait till Glasgow can talk to him when the news is on, so they can actually talk down the line to him, you see. So that, but I'm looking back, I made the right decision.
I think I want to get funky now. Kick drum.
Another programme that you were pressing all the buttons for in the studio was Radio 1's coverage of the Prince concert, that legendary Prince concert.
It was. I talk about impromptu secret concerts. This was it. I got a call from Simon Bates, who used to spend most weekends in New York. And I got a call on a Saturday night. He said, I've just been out with WA Records Lab, and they want Prince to do a little concert before he does the tour. Now, what are you doing Tuesday? I said, what? You know? I said, yeah, okay. He said, I'm just going to... He made some calls. He phoned up the... he said, whatever you do, don't tell management or it'll take 6 weeks and it'll never happen. So he phoned up all the TOs, the lovely... Another chap gone, Ralphie Jordan, one of the best TOs, technical operator, sorry. And he got the people, he got the Radio 1 girls, the ones he wanted, the PAs. We got some tickets sold for it. And we put a couple of trails out because everybody went mad. Prince, and we got to the day, and we didn't know if he was going to turn up. You know, got 9 o'clock. Bates was out, I forget where he was. He was somewhere, the post office tower or somewhere. And I pushed the thing, you know, the golden hour. But we did that. We didn't have a good, 9:15. This huge Pantechnica backs up with all the kit into where the sort of one show is now.
Yeah, yeah.
Unloaded all the kit. I said, we've got a show. So I got asked. I got quite a bit of work. That was quite lucrative too. So what with that and today live? And,
Well, talking of the road show, let's talk about the ones that you actually went out and co-hosted yourself. Quite often you were doing, you know, the big ones on the Bank Holiday Mondays and the Sundays, Haydock Park, Thorpe Park, that was another one as well. But this was not without incident. It could be a bit hairy sometimes.
Well, Haydock Park, now, I remember going to Haydock Park. I think Dave Ack was producing, and there's a producer who will never forget, John Leonard. You know, used to produce a lot of...
The Northwest producer,
Northwest. So they thought it was a good idea. It was a family fun day at Haydock Park, and they got the circus and the kids and everything, and they got knife throwers. So, for the BBC, I mean, you remember old John Noakes climbing up?
Yeah.
So John said, stand in front of there, put your live, Janet, you've got a microphone, Janice can commentate on it. And these knives are about 15 inches long, and there's a big wooden board at the back, and they go, boom. And they're about 3 inches away, and I thought I daren't move, and I felt sorry for Janice, because if anything had happened, she'd got to do the whole thing live on the radio. I remember saying, she dragged me off. She said, oh, what do you say after that? I said, get me a brandy. And John Leonard, bless him, he said I still have nightmares. I saw him a couple of years ago.
Thing is though, right, I mean, a lot of these broadcasts were in conjunction with the Variety Club of Great Britain and UNICEF and what have you, and they were were all sorts of things that used to happen on air, particularly when Radio 1 came into that sort of golden period of the mid-80s in terms of really sort of being
out
and about.
Like all golden periods, you don't realise it is a golden period until it's gone. Yes, it was. Yeah. You're right.
You had the Radio Fun with the Radiothon. Do you remember that? 1985. You were in Northern Ireland with Gary Davis.
With Gary Davis, yes.
Scene for you here, because the atmosphere, as you can probably hear, is absolutely electric. We're in a club where just in front of me are just thousands of people, and there's a big balcony all the way around the club, and again the balcony is completely jam-packed solid. The atmosphere, I don't think Cookstown has ever seen anything like it in its history. I've certainly never seen anything like it, and I know Adrian Justice is quite amazed.
Are you right in the balcony? It's loose.
One of your most important tasks towards the end of your time with the station was producing some truly memorable promotional trials to raise awareness of the fact that Radio 1 was all set to move over to FM, finally.
Oh, God. But you got more off. I used to do the announcements. Dave Price was in charge of the announcements put at the transmitter before it went on air. I got more fan mail off that coming shortly on FM. I mean, this is something... not in any way bitter, but I just wish I would have had a little more credit for the production.
Radio 1 FM, testing on 98.4 megahertz. Yes, Radio 1 FM is coming soon on this frequency. Switch on date is Thursday, the 1st of September. No more mushy medium wave with all that interference. From the 1st of September on this frequency, you'll be able to hear Radio 1 in clear, exciting FM stereo. Make a note of the frequency. 98.4 megahertz for Radio 1 FM.
And there remains, Adrian, a huge fondness for your programmes amongst the fans of Radio 1. During the 70s and the 80s, that must be very rewarding for you.
It is. I mean, it's absolutely frightening because, Sean, you've seen the... Just a case in point, New Year's Day this year, 2019, was our last ever show. And I just found an old photograph that Kate, the actress on the show, and me coming out with the programme box, coming out of broadcasting.
This is 1994, yes?
1994, you're going to guess right. And I thought, I'll put this up, because a couple of the anoraks will like it on the thing. And nice for Kate and a couple of other people who worked on the show. We've got writers from Spitting Image and all sorts on there. So I've just put this up. Well, it just blew off the wall. I mean, the whole day went mad. I was just sat there. We got 460 hits. You know, it's amazing. So 25 years on, I think that says something about it. It's worth doing it. But I honestly didn't expect anything like it. No.
Hello, boys and girls! 30 miles from London and still no sign of
a cheap double entendre.
Hey, boys and girls, have you seen my career?
Yes! It's behind!
Forget it. I'll be a traffic warden. Ta-da.
For BBC Radio 1 FM, Adrian Just was a Show to Gone production.
There are a whole generation of people that grew up with your programme.
I know. Two generations. My funeral should be good, isn't it? I want you doing the DJ.
Oh, hey. We won't have any of that at all. Thank you very much. You're still going strong, that's for sure. But Adrian, thank you ever so much for coming in. Always great to see you and sharing your Radio 1.
Thank you, Sean. Good as ever.